for tape, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2010 Passover Teaching and Deliverance Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. This is the Saturday afternoon, 1:15 Ladies Deliverance Service, April 3rd, 2010. Carla Batard is the speaker of the service, teaching on abortion.
Well, Father, we just thank you for this time together. We thank you for this camp, Lord. We thank you for your word and for the freedom that it brings us, because as we know the truth will make us free. And we thank you for that. Lord, I just ask right now that you would cover each one of us. Cover us with your precious blood, Lord. Father, I just ask right now that that we let down all our guards so that this can get right to the heart of the matter. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to talk today. Many of you have already heard this message. I don't know if all of you have heard this message, but if the other people that were here that haven't been here before were here, I wanted to talk about the spirit of abortion, because this is a spirit that affects a lot of people and they don't even realize it. And I'm going to give you my testimony of that. But first of all, I want to read a list of manifestations of the abortion spirit. And this is a way that you can kind of, if you experience these things, then you know that spirit is at work in your life somewhere in your bloodline. It causes you inwardly to have a feeling like there is a block from the things of God. It keeps you from having intimacy with God and even with other people. You have feelings of being separated from God, and if that spirit is in you, it will resist the Holy Spirit. Some people, you can mention like the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and immediately there's a resistance. And it could, this spirit could be one of the reasons for that. You have feelings that nobody loves you. Now, I said earlier today to somebody we were praying for that God had shown me that this spirit was working in a person. It was a man, actually. And sometimes we forget that this not only affects the women. Lots of times we hear about it from the women because they are the ones who suffered the abortion and everything that goes along with it afterwards, the guilt and everything. But we forget about the man. The man may not even be in the person's life anymore, but he's gone off and living his life somewhere, and all of these same things could be affecting him. So I would almost even like for every man, I told him, I said, now today, you won't be down here when I teach this, but when you get through with the men's meeting, you need to order this and take it home, because you're going to see a lot of the things that are happening in your life, that this is the root of it. And your wife, you know, can listen to it also. There is a lot of mental torment, no peace, even to the point of hearing voices. A lot of times women who have had abortions, or if this spirit is working in your life, and not every one of these manifestations will follow this spirit. You may just have some of them, but they hear voices, and they're not good voices. They're voices that will say bad things to the person who has this spirit. It will even cause people to end up being institutionalized, like with insanity. There's emotional torment. There's no joy. Or you could even be experiencing depression or thoughts that you're losing your mind. It's a tormenting spirit that you're going to lose your mind. It can be the cause of mental illness. You will have Jekyll and Hyde tendencies, just like he was talking about, because this spirit, it will display a different personality. You'll be really sweet and kind, and the next minute you can be a monster, raging and spouting ugly things out of your mouth. You have unnatural thoughts or feelings. In my case, I'll get to that in a minute. I always think about it and then get off track. You have surprising hatred. There may not even be a reason for the hatred, but it's there. There's a lot of fear. Fear of being abandoned. Fear of a secret being discovered. Or you may not even know what it is. You may not even have anything that you're guarding, but you always have this feeling that somebody's going to find out about you. There's nervousness, breakdowns, hardened heart against God. You may have sleeplessness, insomnia, and fatigue, or you're just tired all the time. And you could be plagued with nightmares. You're trouble-ridden in relationships. Just always having trouble in your life. Always just trouble, trouble, trouble. Or you may have chronic sicknesses or afflictions. Along with that fear is fear of starvation, fear that somebody's going to kill you, fear of being murdered, or fear of like car wrecks, anything that's going to cause you to be killed. It's just an unnatural fear of something bringing about your death. Or on the flip side of that, or with your parents. Some children are fearful that their parents might kill them. Or on the flip side, you may have lurking murderous feelings yourself. You know, you could just wish that you could, even yourself, suicide, killing yourself, wanting to kill yourself, or wanting to kill somebody else. Thoughts of killing. You could be guilt-ridden, even though you haven't done anything. But there's a guilt. And see, if it's generationally inherited, what happens is when somebody has an abortion or whatever the spirit is that we're talking about, whoever does the thing, maybe that thing is not played out in following generations, but the familiar spirits that come with that thing can follow the family line. And that's where the guilt or shame or you like being discovered, those kind of feelings. You didn't do it. Somebody else did it. But those familiar spirits that go along with it may come down to you. You may have problems in your mind, like trouble with making decisions and confusion. Sometimes you just feel spaced out. You're just like in a fog, can't get your thoughts together. You could even have self-hatred. And the problem with that, see, you may not have done it yourself, but if it's in your bloodline, you may have that self-hatred. The person who did it hates themselves for doing it, and then the self-hatred comes down the family line. So there may be self-hatred there. And the problem with that is, that is the root of a lot of autoimmune diseases, like rheumatoid arthritis or lupus, or what are some other autoimmune? Hutchinson's disease. Does anybody know any other autoimmune? There's some blood diseases. AIDS, isn't AIDS an autoimmune disease? Anyway, it causes autoimmune diseases. There's unforgiveness, bitterness, and resentment. Or you wear a mask that hides all the inner turmoil. You walk around with a fake face because you don't want anybody to see really what's there. And you will have unsatisfactory sexual relationships in your marriage. It can cause problems in the marital sex relationship. It will cause you to feel miserable. You have an inability to relate with children, even your own. Or you will dislike children or have a hatred of children. Or I've seen it where they're just mean to children. mean. You ever see anybody who's just mean to children? I see them all the time, like in the parking lot when they're coming out of the store and stuff, and they're so mean to their children. It just breaks my heart, jerking them around and saying ugly things to them. Or physically, outwardly, it could be the cause of eating disorders because you don't feel worthy to be healthy. So you'll deprive yourself of food, which can be the cause of anorexia or the bulimic, the anorexia nervosa. It's self-destructive behaviors. And it involves spirits of bondage, like bondage to drugs, alcohol, gluttony, bondage to food. You have an unloving spirit, which is an inability to love. You want to love, but it's just not there. And the unloving spirit not only will not allow you to give love, you can't receive love. And that's totally important with your relationship with God, because everything is based on love. God is love. And see, these things, a lot of them intertwine with the curse of the bastard, because rejection is the root or the main, the strong man in the curse of the bastard, and it also is with abortion, because when you don't want the child that you're carrying, that rejection comes in, and so they're closely related to the bastard curse. You may have migraine headaches, difficult periods, like with cramps and extreme PMS, or you'll have difficult labor, hard labors, long labors, sometimes dangerous labors that end up, you know, where you have to have a cesarean section. You can't even give birth to the baby the way it should be. A lot of people with this spirit have multiple marriages and multiple divorces. It could be the cause of childlessness, stillbirths, sudden infant death syndrome, because there's a spirit of death there, miscarriages, or sterility. It could also be the cause of tumors and cysts and things in the female organs, because that has to do, your female organs are all about nurturing and giving birth and sustaining life and closeness and bonding. So if that spirit is there, sometimes it'll cause sicknesses in those areas of the body, because it's all about the childbearing process and mothering. People with this spirit, there's a lot of adultery because of the bad relationships and not thinking that you're loved. So you're always, you know, searching for that love, even though it, you have it right there at your house, but you're looking for it because it never gets fulfilled. So there's adultery and infidelity, or there's abusive relationships. And this helped me to understand why a lot of women who are physically abused in a relationship stay there. Because if this spirit is there, they feel like they deserve that beating, or they deserve to be verbally abused. It's their way of receiving punishment for what they did. They feel like they deserve it. So it can cause people to stay in abusive relationships. It can be the cause of female cancers of the breast, uterus, cervical cancer, ovarian cancer. And see, with men, it would hit them in the male reproductive organs. Even some men get breast cancer. So this could be, you know, a root to that. There's an inferiority and an insecurity. And women who will have this spirit working in them, usually they will be like a robot in their mothering. There's no affection or interrelation with the child. It's just going through the motions and doing the things that need to be done, but there's no Your heart is not in it. You know, there's no love connected with it. There's no tenderness. There's no all of that that mothers, that we know about mothers. So they would be called like a mechanical mom because of the lack of nurturing. And in a man, it would be like a mechanical dad. They go through the motions. They get up. They eat at the same table. They go to work. They provide for the family. But there's no father relationship with the children. It can be a cause of obesity, which is the flip side of depriving yourself. Sometimes because of the pain, it causes you to feel good if you eat something, and so it can be overcompensating. And then a lot of women have spirits of infirmities that go with this spirit, because you can't have all these things in your body and be healthy. Okay, so this is the testimony of how I learned that the spirit of abortion was working in my life. I had all of these questions. That's what I love about deliverance. When you learn about these spirits, it makes so much sense. The questions that you have and things in your life that don't make sense, all of a sudden, oh, that's why. And then in areas that you just live with it, you know, you just put up with it. You think that it's part of your life that you've got to have. Then you find out that it's a spirit and it can be cast out. That is a really good thing. Well, 2 years ago, well, the very first time I taught this, it was 2 years ago. I scratched that out. My daughter had gone with me to a deliverance conference at Frank Hammond's ministry. This is when he was still alive. And on the book table, there was a book called Ministering to the Aftermath of Abortion. And they had that book here. I think they changed the title. Yes. By Bill Banks, and I don't remember what's the title of that? Abortion's Aftermath. Okay, so my daughter had seen that book on the book table. She didn't mention it to me, but about a year later, I was going out there again by myself, and she said, Mom, there is a book there about abortion. I was wondering if you would pick that up for me, because at the time, she had friends in high school that were getting pregnant and having abortions. Well, I got it. Then, a couple of years later, she got pregnant out of wedlock, and she moved away to live with this man. Well, I was dusting one day. She left the book, never got it to the friends, but the book sat there, and I was dusting over it one day, and the Lord said, read that book. And I said, Lord, I don't want to read this book. I'm not interested in this. I've never had an abortion, never thought about an abortion. Well, I have one cousin that I knew who had abortion. That should tell me, that should give you a kind of a flag that there might be a problem like that in the family line. But at the time, I didn't know anything about all of this. And so I just didn't want to read the book. And he said, see, God is, instead of just saying, you need to read the book for your own self, he said, but you will minister to women who have had abortions, and you need the information. Okay, so I do a lot of reading in the bathtub. I like to fill up my old bathtub real deep and just get in there and read. So I was reading this book, and suddenly I knew that this was for me, because I never had a close relationship with my mother. I mean, we weren't at odds. We didn't fight and all of that stuff, but you just couldn't get close to her. I loved her. I knew she loved me. She took very good care of me, dressed me pretty, you know, was out fixing my hair all the time when I was little, when I would let her. She liked curly hair, and I don't have any curls. So she was always giving me permanents. That's probably why I was saying never have another permanent. But anyway, I loved my mother, but there was just no closeness there. And I had friends who were real close with their mothers. And so that question was always there. Why is it that we're not close? It almost seemed personal. You know, that's what the demon tells you. Well, she doesn't like you. That's what the demons want you to think. Well, I knew she liked me. I knew she loved me. But, okay, we're just different. That, you know, as I grew up, it's just because we're different. My mother's real quiet, and I'm not. And so I just thought it was our differences. But when I read this book, I knew exactly. And as I read the book, I had a memory that my mother had told me that when she was 14 years old, her mother told her that she had tried to abort her when she was pregnant with her. And I thought, what woman in their right mind would tell a 14-year-old kid that? But I'm sure my grandmother had guilt. I'm sure, you know, that, it, and I'm sure she probably told my mother that she was sorry that she had ever thought that. And I know that it gave my grandmother a relief to get that off of her secret, that secret. You know, that's where the devil likes to torment you, is with your secrets. And so my mother said, but it didn't bother me. And it seemingly, you would think that it didn't because, you know, Mom went on and she never displayed any real problems, but she had that unloving spirit where she was not able to express her love the way she, I know she would have liked to. Okay, so now I'm reading this book and it's talking about this mechanical mom and I'm thinking, wow, that sounds like my mother. And then I remembered that she told me that. So there was the answer to that lifelong question, why could we never be close? Now there is an explanation for it. So as you learn about these spirits, it will answer questions and you will have an understanding of it. And then that mystery is solved and it's no longer a torment. And so I bought the book and read it, and I had no idea how much I would need it. And I thought, you know, the timing, God's timing is absolutely perfect. Because, see, my daughter was pregnant out of wedlock, so now she's away from the house, and I'm reading this book, not even knowing how important it would come to be. Because she talked about abortion, my daughter did. Of course, I know that it's murder, but I didn't want to put my conviction on her. This is your life. You know, she was a grown woman. She was 22 years old, and she wanted to know. She talked about it with me. Well, I knew the torment that she was going to be in if she did. She knew from her own friends the torment that they were dealing with, and she decided not to do it, and I was glad. So now she's out in West Texas. Well, when she had the baby, I went out there. And when I got there, the baby was born on the same day that our oldest son graduated from college. And when I found out the due date was the same day, of course, most babies are not born on their due date. They're born 10 days later or something like that. So I wasn't too concerned about that. But anyway, she went into labor while we were out of town. And so when we got home, we heard it on the answering machine, the progression. The man called and said, Katie's gone to the hospital. It's 7:30 in the morning. And then the next call came at about 10, and then the next call came at, you know, until the baby was born. Well, the baby's here, and it's a girl, and, you know, the wait and all of that. So I got home from being out of town for that, and I repacked my bag and went to West Texas. I drove out there. It was like an 11-hour drive. And I got there, and it was almost midnight, and she had gotten home from the hospital about 8 o'clock that day in the evening. And when I got there, she had just gotten out of the shower, and she had just breastfed the baby, which I was happy she was breastfeeding the baby. But she had just fed her, so she was holding the baby. She had gotten out of the shower. Her hair was wrapped up in a towel. And I went in, and there she was, and I loved on her and loved on the baby. But it was the most disturbing scene I had ever walked in on. Because the little baby is doing this, just clawing at its face. And Katie was just a nervous wreck. And I had brought the movie camera because Mike didn't get to go with me, of course, because he couldn't miss that much work. And so I said, well, Dad wants me to take a lot of pictures, so I'm going to turn it on, and why don't you tell me, you know, when your water broke and all of that, and tell me how your labor went and everything. And she's looking down at the baby like this, And she never looks up. So there's a long pause. And I said, Katie? And she just started to sob. So I turned off the movie camera and went over and held her. And I said, what is it, Katie? And through her sob, she's telling me that, you know how you watch on television when women have babies? And it's like, oh, they just can't wait to get that baby. And she said, I never felt that. And I still don't feel that. And then she said that when she got home from the hospital, she put the baby in the crib, and all of a sudden, see, here comes the fear. Fear that something would be wrong with her. She had run to the crib. She's breathing. Everything's fine. And, you know, we think about this like being a new mother. No, it was way more than that. So she was afraid the baby would die. She said, so the baby's sleeping and everything. So I went to the kitchen. I was going to make myself a sandwich. And she said, I'm slicing a tomato. And I hear this voice say, you could take this knife and go kill her. And when she said that, everything that was in that book became very important. I knew exactly what it was. I said, Katie, okay, I know exactly what this is. I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to pray for the baby. I don't want you to worry about what you hear come out of my mouth. Because these spirits of murder, spirits of death, spirits of everything that was in that book, I prayed deliverance over her, and then I broke all those spirits off of the baby. And I want you to know that after that was done, I watched that little baby go from this to just, like, I appreciated Diane's testimony of being in the room when the baby was born, and she took the baby, and the baby is just such a peaceful little child. Yes, it makes a difference. Over the next couple of times that I filmed her while she breastfed the baby, she went from having absolutely no feelings at all to looking at her and, you know, touching her little hair and fooling with her fingers and stroking her little cheek, and the baby was just so peaceful. And it was like, it's like I have it on film, the transformation in both of them. It's miraculous. So this information is very important. In my own case, even before I knew this, when I was a young girl, I had many phobias and fears, fear of dying. I always had this fear of dying, even though the Bible says we are held in bondage by the fear of death. Mine was a murder. I just had this thought that somebody was going to try to stab me to death. And I would sleep with a pillow under me and a pillow on top of me, so if somebody came in with a knife, you know, we would have to go through the pillow and maybe it wouldn't get me much, you know. Just weird thoughts, unnatural thoughts. And then we had this little cat, a little female cat that had a litter every time she was able. We called her Mama Kitty because she was a really good mama. Mama Kitty. She was just constantly having kittens. And she was a little petite cat. And she had this little tiny head and face, and this was probably not long after we moved to where we're living now, about 20 years ago, and I'm sitting there petting the cat, didn't know anything about deliverance, petting the cat, and her head wasn't much bigger than this microphone head, and I put my hand over her head, thought, she's got such a little tiny head, her whole head can fit in my hand, and when I put my hand over that cat's head, I heard a voice say, you can just grab that head and twist it like that and kill the cat. Man, I didn't even know where that thought came from, but it scared me. Because I'm not a killer, but that spirit is. That gave me the understanding of how, I guess, wasn't really aware of people who kill their children until I was a young mother myself, and there was a national story on the news about this woman who had put her children in their car seats in the back seat of the car and drove them to a lake and let the car go down into that lake with her her children strapped into the seat. Do y'all remember that? She's in prison today. But, you know, you just, who could do that? You're thinking, I mean, nobody in their right mind could do it. Except it's people all the time that people say, but, you know, she was such a good mother. She, of course, there's that mechanical thing. You know, you're going through all the motions. You're doing the right things. But the problem with a spirit like this that travels down the family line is it will lie dormant until it has the opportunity, until it decides. See, it is there, and it at some point will rear its head and demand to be satisfied. And that's what happened with this woman. There was another woman in Houston who drowned all five of her children. Do y'all remember that? Drowned all five of her children. She was hearing voices too. She was hearing voices. And so, what was the other one? You hear sometimes, I've heard of men, women who have a child, bring a boyfriend in to live with them, and then the child disappears, and later they find where the man had murdered the child. Down in our area, a woman let a man move in with her. She went to work. He was keeping the children, and he put her youngest in the oven, and it died naturally. But, you know, this is why all of these things are happening. Children all the time are being found murdered by their parents. And that's what it is. And that's the problem with these things not being told. And when we talk to our children about their grandmothers or their, you know, we don't even know it to begin with. But this information is something that is kept secret. See, that's where Satan has his power, is in the area of the secret. And it says nothing shall be secret. Everything will be brought to light. So, when my daughter got pregnant, I was very angry with her because I had dreams for her. And now it seemed like all those dreams would never happen. When we go to a wedding, it's very grievous to my husband because we have two boys and our baby is the girl. And he looked forward to walking her down the aisle. And that's yet to happen. That's not to say it can't happen, but it didn't happen in the way that it's intended to happen. And so, when she got pregnant, we told her that we would not be the bearer of this news to her grandparents or her brothers or anybody, that was her news to tell, and we would leave that to her. Well, so that meant we found out in September, and the baby was born in May. So from September to February, nobody knew but Mike and me, and of course his parents. And so one night I was spending the night with my mother, and she's a widow, and she has a king-size bed, so when I spend the night, I sleep on one side, and she sleeps on the other, and we just talk, visit, you know, until we go to sleep. And I had a dream in November, so September, October, no, it was in October, 1 month after I had found out, I had a dream. And in the dream, and why this was important, is because my mother's mother was abandoned at birth. And so, you know, if we think about the family tree, we can't go any farther back than her because we don't know anything about her heritage. Except that on her birth certificate, interestingly, it lists the father's name and the mother as unknown. Yeah, so as we have speculated over the years, we really believe that my grandmother's dad had an affair with a young girl or another woman or something. And she got pregnant, and then he arranged to raise the baby, and the girl was, maybe she died when the baby was born, I don't know, but we don't know anything about her. So anyway, my grandmother was abandoned, and so I always looked at the situations where babies were abandoned. Now, usually a married couple who are happily married and starting a family, they're not interested in giving away their baby. So I didn't figure that was the situation. Maybe it was an adulterous affair and the woman gave the baby up for adoption. Maybe it was the way we thought, you know, we just really didn't know. But I had an opinion about this woman that she must have been promiscuous, which was judgment, and which I've learned over the years that when you judge something, you're writing out a purchase order for it to come to your house, because what you judge is going to come to you. And so here I am having this dream. In the dream, I see a woman, a beautiful woman, a godly-looking woman. And even though I don't know who she is, I know that I'm looking at my grandmother's mother. And even while I'm dreaming it, it's like my conscious mind is saying, Lord, forgive me for wrongly judging her. And then while I was looking at her, she morphed. The body went from her to me. And now I'm looking at myself, and I'm like, what is this? And while I'm looking at that, it morphs again, and I see my daughter. And then I understood what God was saying. He said, what happened with her could have happened with you, because Mike and I had sex before we were married. I didn't get pregnant. There was one time that I thought I was pregnant, and I was horrified that I would have to tell my parents and hurt them and disappoint them and all of that. Everything that I was didn't want to come to my parents came to Mike and me. But what happened to my grandmother's mother could have happened to me. I did the same thing she did. And my daughter also did the same thing that we did, and now she is with child. And you know what that did? It wiped out all the anger that I had. And I called my daughter the very next day and told her about the dream, and I asked her to forgive me for being angry with her. I said, because you haven't done anything that I didn't do. I just didn't get caught. And will you forgive me for being angry with you? And there was a healing that took place at that time. And so I just thought that, you know, God is so gracious. And He loved her enough to straighten me out so that we could be reconciled about that. So my grandmother has five children. She had five children very close together. And sometimes this happens. Back in the old days, they don't talk about it, but when there are a lot of children born, of course, this was even during the Depression, and mouths were hard to feed at that time. And so it did, and in that generation, there was a lot of pregnancies that were not wanted and where this spirit could come in. But the mothers don't reveal this, and so the spirit is there, and it's operating, and it's wreaking havoc in people's lives, and yet it's never known about. And so that's why I wanted to bring this information to you. So out of those five children, because of the spirit of death, one of my uncles committed suicide. And that's not unheard of, where that spirit of death is present. In my own family, I have two older brothers. And as I read that there is childlessness, infertility, my brother was never able to have children. He and his wife adopted a child, but they were never able to have children of their own. And I want to read to you a couple of scriptures. First is Hosea 9:10. And again, these are curses. Like Diane read all those curses yesterday. And when someone in the bloodline has done this, this is the result of it. Hosea 9:10, starting at 10. And it's talking about Ephraim. And Ephraim, I looked that up this morning. Ephraim was a son of Joseph. But when you see Ephraim, it also is referring to the tribe that descended from Joseph. So that it's talking about his the people that came after him. And its territory, the tribe and the territory. That's what Ephraim means. Okay, in verse 10, I found Israel like grapes in the wilderness. I saw your fathers as the first ripe in the fig tree at her first time. They went to Baal Peor. Now, you'll see a lot of names of places that start with Baal, and that is it's another name for Satan. It says, but they went to Baal Peor and separated themselves unto shame, and abominations were according as they loved. As for Ephraim, their glory shall fly away like a bird from the birth and from the womb and from the conception. Though they bring up children, yet will I bereave them, that there shall not be a man left. Yea, woe also to them when I depart from them. Ephraim, as I saw Tyre, is planted in a pleasant place, but Ephraim shall bring forth his children to the murderer. Give them, O Lord, what wilt thou give? Give them a miscarrying womb and dry breast. See, miscarriages can be a result of abortion. All their wickedness in Gilgal, for there I hated them, for the wickedness of their doings, I will drive them out of mine house. See, there's that separation from God. You can almost pick up on some of the things that people feel about this, what it's saying. I'll drive them out of my house. I will love them no more. See, they don't feel loved by God. All their princes are revolters. Ephraim is smitten. Their root is dried up. They shall bear no fruit. See there again, no fruit, no seed, no babies, no children. Yea, though they bring forth, yet will I slay the beloved of their womb. My God will cast them away because they did not hearken unto him, and they shall be wanderers among the nation. Okay, now look at Leviticus chapter 18. Leviticus chapter 18. Verse 21, and thou shalt not let any of thy seed pass through the fire to Moloch, neither shalt thou profane the name of thy God. I am the Lord. See, that was the god of child sacrifice, was Moloch. And as Diane said, it was an idol made of stone, or it must have been made of stone because the wood would have burned up. But they would make a fire. The hands were out like this, and they would put the baby in the hands of that thing, and there would be a fire underneath until the babies died. So that's what the God of Moloch was all about. And see, these laws were given, like when the people of Israel were passing through these lands, he told them, don't do the things that they do. But there were people from Israel that were doing this. Look at chapter 20, Leviticus 20. And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, again thou shalt say to the children of Israel, whosoever he is of the children of Israel, or of the strangers that sojourn in Israel, who giveth any of his seed unto Moloch, he shall surely be put to death. Now see, I wonder if sometimes when there is a sickness unto death, could this be a result that abortion is somewhere in the family line and there is a sickness unto death? Because he said he shall surely be put to death. Back then, they were actually killed. They brought them out and killed them if they had done this. But in this day and time, as a spiritual result, could it be causing a sickness unto death in the body of people who this spirit is in? The people of the land shall stone him with stones, and I will set my face against that man. See, here again, God's face is set against that man who does this. So these are ways that the person will be made to feel, because we don't take people who have had abortions and stone them to death. We don't do that. It's just like in the Old Testament, it says if you have a stubborn, rebellious child, you take them to the gates of the city, and all the people of that city come around, and that rebellious child is stoned to death. Now, we don't do that anymore. But what it says is so that evil will be put away from you. Now, do you think other children standing around that witness a kid being stoned to death for his rebellion is going to be quick to be rebellious? Probably not. I'm sure there were some, because stubbornness is stubborn. So he says, I will set my face against that man and will cut him off from among his people because he hath given of his seed unto Molech to defile my sanctuary and to profane my holy name. Now let me just make this point. He was talking about his people, and we are a nation. There is an individual judgment, but there is also a judgment on a nation who permits abortion, which America does. So even though you have not done this yourself, or maybe it's not in your bloodline, but maybe it could be the cause of women who are not able to have children because this judgment has come on the nation, because it is a national sin against God of abortion. And if the people of the land do in any way hide their eyes from the man when he giveth his seed unto Moloch and kill him not, then I will set my face against that man and against his family. Tom was saying this morning, you know, two people come together and they think, well, we're two consenting adults. What we do doesn't hurt anybody else. Well, the seed is in the man and the seed is in the woman, and that curse follows the seed. Just like he said, God said through Moses, he said, I will set my face against that man and against his family, and will cut him off and all that play the harlot after him to commit harlotry with Moloch from among their people. So you're almost going to be shunned. And sometimes they are outcasts, and maybe that's why they're an outcast. I don't know. It's a possibility. It's something to think about. But anyway, we don't want this curse to have any more right in any of us because of this. See, there is, when I said that there's bitterness and anger and resentment, I wondered if that could have been the reason that my grandmother's gallbladder ruptured. You know, she had bitterness in her soul for what she had done. And gall, the word gall means bile, something bitter to endure. It means bitterness of spirit. So I wondered if that couldn't... My grandmother's gallbladder ruptured and she got poison in her pancreas. That was a sickness unto death. They called in the family. We all thought she was going to die. Of course, she didn't die. I believe prayer and the mercy of God brought her through that. And the gallbladder is a membranous muscular sac in which bile from the liver is stored. So maybe it could even affect the liver. Okay, and then in those five children that my grandmother had, my mother had constant fibroid tumors. She had them cut out. None of them were cancerous. But, you know, they were always removing them. I think she had three or four surgeries where they removed tumors. And she had a hysterectomy. See, you'll have diseases in your female organs. My grandmother, eventually, she was 84 when she died, and she had breast cancer when she died. She never had treatment for it. It just ate through her breast, and it was terrible, but she didn't want to have surgery, and so at 84 she died. Then the next child after my mother, well, the oldest child, and then she had the boy who eventually committed suicide, then she had my mother, and when this next child came into the picture, the oldest one was now about six. They sent her because the house was small and they were getting crowded and my grandmother couldn't take care of all of them by herself. So they sent the oldest one to live with her mother, who was her adoptive mother, her grandmother. And this oldest daughter is plagued with rejection, feeling like they didn't love her because they gave her away. When she was six, she was parted from her family. Of course, the grandmother was pretty, she had means, and she was always buying the one that lived with her pretty dresses and everything, which caused a bunch of jealousy in these others. I mean, it just caused, there is so much baggage that it's hard for them to really love each other freely because of all this old stuff. Jerry mentioned having a seminar with four generations. Don't you know that was wonderful? I think it would be great to be able to get together with all of my older aunts and uncles who are now all in their mid and upper 80s, and then all the cousins that came out of these, because there's been drug abuse, there's been alcoholism, there's been one abortion that I know of, and there could be others that I don't know of, and fornication, you know, sexual sins, because it all came down the bloodline. I just think it would be great to have all of them sitting here and be able to introduce to them these spirits that would give them understanding of the problems that have plagued them all their life long, but they can't receive it. So the next child that came along, she didn't get handled very much. The grandmother was so busy taking care of these others that are her mother, that the baby laid in the bassinet most of the time. I mean, till the oldest aunt said, I remember the back of her little head being flat because she just was hardly ever picked up and loved. She has a lot of rejection in her life. Of course, they, he said a while ago, the 30-year-old woman was functioning. She had a good job. She was, you know, she went through college. They're functioning, but dysfunction with dysfunction. And how sad. Don't you know it grieves the father's heart to see his children so tormented whenever he has made a way and has even said it? You know, they will cast out demons. Why do we want to live with these things? And then the next child that came along, the youngest one, bless her heart, she has rheumatoid arthritis. She has asthma. A lot of allergies, tremendous fear, worry. I mean, she's just a bundle of infirmity. And she's had weight problems all of her life. Now, you don't have to actually have an abortion for this spirit to come in. Anytime that you don't want a baby that you have conceived, that spirit of abortion comes in. It can come in with that rejection. It can cause depression. I'll tell you, when I suffered a depression, a 4-year depression that I was healed of. Of course, I went to the psychiatrist first. I didn't know anything about deliverance, but I did go to a psychiatrist, and I paid, like he said, at that time it was $90 an hour. And he didn't cure me. He didn't have the cure. I wouldn't take his medicine because I had 3 little babies. But when I was pregnant with my daughter, I was depressed, very depressed, and I would cry. And I'm not talking about a sniffle. I'm talking about sobbing from my toenails when I was pregnant with her. And sometimes I was afraid that I would cause myself to go into labor. I would cry so hard. But I was happy to be pregnant. I loved being pregnant. I never had a problem being pregnant. I loved babies and wanted to have lots of them, but I had 3 and that was enough. And when she started kindergarten at 5 years old, had never seen this on her at all. Now, she did have a problem with fear of abandonment. Now, if the babysitter came to the house and I left, no problem. But if I took her somewhere else and was to leave, it was bad. So, but anyway, when she was 5 years old, it was time for her to go to kindergarten and got to the... In the car, she would start crying. Big tears would be rolling down her face. And I would ask her, why are you crying? She just would shake her head. No, she didn't know why. And So one day after I dropped her off, her big brothers would walk her up to the school. And I was listening to a radio program. And he said, it was a Christian radio show, and it was talking about how things can be passed from the mother to the fetus. And he said, let's say a mother was depressed when she was carrying her child. Well, that got my attention. And so they talked about it, that this depression, this sorrow, this all of this can be passed to the baby. And so that the host says, so what should someone do if this is their situation? And he said, well, you know, you can speak to that spirit and command it to leave your child. You don't have to do it to their face, but let the child go to sleep at night, and you can stand at the door and speak to that spirit. That was one of the first things that worked. It worked. I mean, I was a born-again Christian. I stood at her bedroom door, and, you know, I just was going to give it a shot because I wanted my baby free of that. So I stood at the bedroom door, and I said, in the name of Jesus, you spirit of depression, oppression, sadness, sorrow, crying, everything I could think of that I had when I was pregnant with her, you go in Jesus' name. Well, she never cried again. And I thought, this is amazing. And there was like nothing to it. You know, it doesn't have to be a big ordeal. It doesn't have to be a mysterious happening. It's a matter of fact that at the name of Jesus, they must go. Sometimes they don't all go at once, and sometimes, like he said, you have to work with it. It's a process. But anyway, if you have this spirit, if hearing all of these things has perked your ear that perhaps this spirit is working in you. And I know that in the early morning prayer group, this has been dealt with some, but if there's anybody that has not had this broken off of their life and you would like for it to be broken, then we want to do that today. If it's been dealt with in everybody, and this information would help somebody that you know, then either get the book, or I've done several teachings here on it if you want to get it, and pass it along, because it is the answer to a lot of questions that people have.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.